For the last few months, I just felt it on my heart. In the district, we talked about supporting Teen Challenge with greater energy. And in the last years or so, they moved right into our backyard in Lebanon, New Jersey, which is just 30 to 40 minutes away from us, right up the road here. And I prayed about it, and then I put it aside, as I do with many, many things, because I'm looking at something else, and I have short attention span. And it kept sitting on my desk, and I kept saying, all right, I got to give them a call, and I got to work with them and move here. And I said, all right, I'll get there. And I felt the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. And then 3 days in a row, I went to ShopRite, Starbucks, and Stop and Shop. And every time I went there, someone from Teen Challenge was there, handing out a card, giving information about it. And every time I said, all right, Holy Spirit, got it. All right, okay, I just got to give them a call. And so over the last month, we've been arranging and praying about them coming into the service, us picking up and joining in and increasing our partnership with Teen Challenge. We discussed it even in our leadership meeting with the board just this past month, that it's on our hearts as leadership to increase the presence of Teen Challenge here in our church community and in Pennington, New Jersey. I don't know if you know this, but the number one biggest struggle in teens of this area is drug addiction problems. We often say that in Pennington, there's not a lot they need from us. They're wealthy. They have all their things together. They have big, important jobs. And their school system's amazing. But because of all of these access of money and low area of activities, the drug problem's huge in Pennington. In the teen schools and even in the middle school, it's a real and visible problem. This is one area that we can tangibly help them, encourage them with, and Teen Challenge is a big way of doing that. I've been talking about it over the last couple weeks. Teen Challenge is the largest drug and alcohol addiction organization in the country with dramatically the highest percentage of success rate at 70%. God's doing amazing things through there in the last decade, and we believe he's going to do even greater things moving forward, and we want to partner with them in doing that. So without further ado, I'll invite Keith up here and the boys that are going to lead the rest of the service. They're going to lead us in worship through some song, share some testimonies. When they ask you to raise your hands or sing, do it with all your might. When they share a testimony, encourage them as loud as you can. And just give them a round of applause as they join us up here.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We are excited to be here. Because of churches like this, the Teen Challenge continues today to be the oldest, largest, and most successful drug program in the world. But not only is it a drug program, it's a discipleship program. Yes, men and women call up because they're struggling with drugs and alcohol. And they come in, they get clean, but more importantly, they leave with a relationship with Christ. And that's what truly matters. One thing that makes Teen Challenge so different than any other drug program in the world is our understanding of the disease concept. Most of us grew up in a society being taught that addiction is a disease and that there's no known cure for that. And we here at Pennington and Teen Challenge understand a little bit differently. We understand that addiction is only a symptom of the disease. The disease is sin, and the blood of Christ is a cure for sin. That's what makes Teen Challenge so different and so successful. My wife, that's probably right there. Yesterday we went to down near Trenton. They had an advocacy summit for addiction, and I think we were the only Christians in the room, and I felt very uncomfortable. And they went on to share, you know, there are solutions, possible solutions for addiction, and they also shared how they've been trying to open up different drug programs to have more beds, and just the obstacles that they face on a daily basis. And it really gave me a whole new appreciation for moving out of Newark and into Lebanon, into Hunterdon County. We didn't have one obstacle. They just let us open up the center, and usually that's a problem. Usually the people in the town don't want a drug program in your neighborhood because crime increases all the way around. It's just not a great idea. But we haven't had any problems at all since we moved to Lebanon. And it just gave me a real appreciation because it's because of God and the Christ factor that we so smoothly moved into where we are today. And I just thank you for that. We have a short PowerPoint slide. We want to look at a few different facts about Team Challenge. Team Challenge New Jersey is under the New England umbrella. It centers from Vermont down to New Jersey. You can just put up that first slide. Our motto today is student first. And what does that look like? Well, today, any Team Challenge student that graduates needs to graduate with a high school or with a GED. We partnered with Hunterdon County Adult Education, and we have about 5 students currently going down once a week and studying with them to get their GED. We've also had a college offer any Team Challenge graduate, they'll give them 2 years of free college. So it's amazing. Amazing what God is doing in through the ministry of Team Challenge. The next slide. We were located, as many of you know, in Newark. It was probably one of the worst sections of Newark. During my time there, there was probably about 5 murders right out in front of the center. Constantly they were selling heroin right on our doorstep. It was a very difficult place to have a drug program. I remember one morning, right before a choir like this, the students waking me up because one of the students had OD'd in our bathroom. And it was heroin that he had purchased right out in front of the center. So it's just a real difficult place to have a drug program. But there were 3 promises made to Abraham. And they were that he would increase their numbers, he would make them a blessing to the nations around them, and finally he would give them a land large enough to sustain their great numbers. And I see that promise fulfilled even with us in Team Challenge New Jersey. When I was a student in the program, we averaged right around 4 or 5 students. Today we have about 31. We have people on air mattresses and awaiting us to get in. He's made us a blessing to the families of New Jersey. And then finally, he's given us a land large enough to sustain our great number. The next slide. As most of you know, we recently moved to Lebanon. There's 20 buildings there on the property. Over the next few months, we'll open up 2 more cabins, which would give us 16 more student beds. Which is just, the need in New Jersey today is incredible. The number one cause of accidental death in New Jersey today is heroin overdose. And it affects so many families in New Jersey, and the beds are needed. We're actually even building a chapel right there on the premises. It's just amazing what God is doing. There's so many ways for you guys to connect with us, just to keep updated on different activities and things that are going on our campus. When you first came in, you should receive a connection card. If you didn't receive one, go ahead and slip your hand up, and a couple of guys will come around and give you those. Here. You can just take a minute and fill those out. Every month you'll receive a newsletter filled with testimonies, just like you're going to hear here this morning. If you would like to just receive that in your email, you can just put down your email address. There's also a section here for prayer requests. And we'd ask you to fill that out, whatever that prayer request is. One thing that I learned through this part of Team Challenge was to not be so selfish in my prayers. Before, my prayers were always, God, could you help me out here? Could you do this for me? Oh, and by the way, I really need one of those. And it was through this part of Team Challenge that I learned to intercede and stand in the gap for other people. Every morning, the guys are up, 6:30 in the morning, praying over these cards again, 6:30 at night, praying over them again. So we just ask that you would partner with us and fill out that prayer request, and then we'll come around a little bit later and select those. One other way that you can connect with us is our Facebook page. If you would just, everybody, and I already got permission from the pastor, he said you have Wi-Fi here, so there's no excuse for anybody not to go on and like our page. So if you would try to pull your phone out on Team Challenge New Jersey, spelled out, and just like that page. At the end of the service, we'll go through and see who had liked the page. And Team Challenge recently came out with our own line of coffee. It's Team Challenge Coffee for Change. So we'll give away one of these. It's amazing the response that we've gotten from this. The first couple orders were 400 pounds. I believe the last order that just picked up the other day was 800 pounds of coffee. So it's just amazing. So we'll give away one of these coffees to someone that had liked our page at the end of the service. We're going to get right to our first song, and that is Sing Power.
No, I can't hear all God's children singing out. He will not be overtaken. He will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that commands the dead to wake.
Giving back to, you know, just has such an appreciation for what you can save from.
before I get started, I just want to say a quick scripture. Two reasons that puts God before everything I do.
To be honest, I get really, really nervous when I do these things.
And that's 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Good morning, church. My name is Daniel. I'm 30 years old. I'm from Cranford, New Jersey, and Palm Bay, Florida. This is not my first time in the ministry here. Matter of fact, it took me 3 times to finally graduate the program, and this is my 4th time back in the restoration program. The first 2 times I came through the program, I just didn't realize how powerful our God really was. And I thought I just had a drug problem. I thought I just had a heroin problem. Comes to find out there was so much more things deeper down in my heart. But I had a revelation. 2014, I was at my Aunt Teresa's house a couple of weeks before Easter time. And I was staring at the clock, and I noticed the clock stopped ticking. And God spoke to me right there. He said, "Daniel, that's your life right there. Doing the same things over and over and now stuck, going nowhere unless you make a change." You know, the manipulator in me just wants to try to maybe smack that clock. Hopefully it'll start ticking again. Maybe just change the battery, it'll start ticking again. He said, "No, Daniel, those gears in that clock are broken. You have to take that down and change the gears." The same thing with your heart. Your heart is broken. You need to give it to me to be fixed. So I told God I would be open and honest with my heart with him. So this morning, I'd just like to share you my heart, where it came from, and I hope you would appreciate to see how powerful our God really is. I begin my story when I was born. My parents got divorced. My mother stayed in New Jersey, and my father moved to Florida. And I went my whole life back and forth trying to find out who I was through the two families, trying to find my identity. And I would side with my father more because he wanted to be my friend. He was my best friend. He just didn't want to be that father. He didn't want to discipline me. He just, whatever I wanted, that's the kind of love that he showed me. I remember growing up with him, I became a very overweight child. And, I remember getting picked on, ridiculed, made fun of. And just at a young age, I learned about this feeling rejected. I felt unloved, and I felt ugly. And I kind of just like took those emotions and just stuck them somewhere deep down in my heart and buried them. And just put a fake mask on and just pretended like everything was okay. That was pretty much the beginning of where I actually started feeling pain in my heart. A few years down the road, there was a friend of the family's that my stepfather would work. He worked with him. He had godchildren around, me and my brother's age, and we would go over to his house on the weekend and, you know, play video games. He would take us to go movies, and for a while there was no issues there. And just one day I happened to get molested by this man. And it just shut me down. Like, I didn't even know how to react to it. I shut down completely, spiritually, mentally, physically. It was like the first time as a child, it was like realizing the innocence of this world was gone, and it was a dark world that I really knew. But I was afraid to say anything, and because I didn't say anything, this continued on for about a good 6 months. And I was sick, and I couldn't go one day, and my younger brother, Ryan, went without me. And the same thing happened to him. And I think I held on to that resentment in myself for not being man enough to say something. That I put a lot of that blame on the road that my brother Ryan took. That, like, what if I just said something? What if I was man enough to say something? What if I stood up for what was right? So maybe my brother Ryan would be just having a different life than he has today. I held on to that unforgiveness, and I put hate in my heart, and I didn't trust people. Yeah, I kind of took that pain and
and buried it somewhere deep down inside of my spirit and hid it, put a fake smile on, I put another mask on, just trying to pretend like everything was all right, just to keep it moving. And what I say to you next is still hard for me to talk about. But God always puts it on my heart to make sure I tell this part of my story. He has delivered it from me, and I'm not ashamed of my God, how powerful He is. But after that, I did struggle with bisexuality. Just to be here today to actually come in front of this church and talk to you about this. But I know a lot of people struggle with that, and God has helped me with that. But during that time, it just made me feel even that much more like I did not belong in the world, that I was just like this a shameful person that just didn't belong, and those thoughts of suicide just crept in more and more, that I just had no place in this world, that I could never change, that I was always have to live like that. These were the three things of my heart. I started working with my father. I was around 15 years old, and he offered me prescription pills. And I just remember when I took that first pill, of how things on the inside just seemed to melt away, and like, the pain was gone. But when that pill ran out, the medication effects wore out, everything just came swooshing in, 100 miles per hour, all the anxiety, the confusion, the suicidal thoughts, just rushed back in, and when you needed one, now you need two, and when you needed two, you're now four. It just kept going out of control. My 21st birthday, my father couldn't find any pills. He found heroin that day. That was the first time I tried heroin on my 21st birthday with my father. I just remember when he left, I just shut the light off, and I just crept against the back of the wall and slid down, and I just started crying. Not even really on the outside, but it was on the inside. My spirit was just letting me know I was about to go down this road that I was not ready for. Things that you do for that drug is mind-boggling. The kind of just zombie person you turn to. Led me to a park where I was homeless with my brother in Florida. The thing when I was talking to you about Brian. He joined the gangs out there, and one of his gang member friends, he said he was a Satanist. But if you start praying to the enemy, to Satan, you can get all the things back that you lost, plus more. I was just so lost, confused, and I wanted to be healed. I started believing these things. Started opening up doors people have no business opening up. But even in our worst, darkest moments, if you have a call on your life, I would not let you die like that. By the grace of God, I was able to come back to New Jersey. I was working in this diner. It was on Easter Day, out of nowhere, the manager, Maria, she wanted to change the dress code. It was long sleeve shirts, I was a waiter, to all of a sudden being a short sleeve shirts. So now my track marks were exposed. Of course, I lost my job. Called Teen Challenge up. Within a week, I was right back to where I belong. The scripture I always put right here, it's 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. It says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. I say this because I can thank God today for everything I've been through. All those painful, hurtful memories, God was applying pressure, making me the man I am today. I can't explain to you the relationship I have with God, this closeness I have with Him. I know it only came from that dark depression and evilness that made me come and turn to Him.
I love God so much that He opened up my eyes. When I came to Teen Challenge, I finally gave my heart to the Lord, and He became my Lord and Savior. One by one, Jesus Christ has started putting truth in my life and my eyes. Where the enemy said I was rejected, unloved, and ugly, God told me I was beautifully and wonderfully made. He told me I was chosen. He told me I was stunning and loved. Where the enemy told me I had hate in my heart, I had unforgiveness, He told me He died for my sins and He loved me. So if He forgave me, I can forgive that person that molested me and my brother. Where the enemy said I could never change and I had to live the sexual life I was living, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. All things have gone. Behold, all things are new. I thank God for opening my eyes, for taking those masks off, and just making me the man I am today with the confidence I have today. And it's only because of the path that He took me to. And I'm just so thankful and grateful. And thank you for this ministry of Teen Challenge. I mean, God is doing this all around the world. Testimony by testimony, revelation by revelation. My first week in the program, first kind of time I heard God spoke to me. We went to a Wednesday night service in Valenburg Assemblies of God, and I just heard Pastor Jamel and how he preached and his passion to help others, and I just fell in love with that. And I came back into a devotion that night back at the center, and I prayed. I said, God, You're real. You got to help me. When I first came in here, I couldn't even speak correctly to people one-on-one. I was just so ashamed on the inside. Maybe they would just get through that veneer I had. And I would stumble over my words. I would get really red. I would get sweaty. I was really timid and shy. But I remember praying that night and said, God, if You're real, You got to help me here. And audible voice came to me and said, Isaiah 32. I never read Isaiah in my life. I had no idea what it said. I opened it up, Isaiah 32, 3 to 4, it says, the eyes of those who see will not be dim, the ears of those who hear will listen, also the heart of the rash will understand knowledge, and the tongues of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. That was God's promise to me. Yeah. Careful to pray for them. I thank God that I can come out with these testimonies and share my heart with others, because everyone just has to realize how big our God is. You just have to give Him your heart. Let Him touch it. You have no idea the ripple effect. Found out how powerful prayer is. At the time in the program, I was praying for my mother. She was on antidepressant medications. Her husband had a heart attack. His heart went at 35%. He lost his job. My sister, she was overweight. She was like 300 pounds. She was depressed. Powerful prayer is. I mean, my mom got off the depression medication. She's serving God now. My stepfather, her husband's heart is 85%. He's serving God now. My sister lost 150 pounds. She's serving God now. So you have no idea. Just want to leave you with the scripture that I stand on. It's James 5:16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Thank you, guys.
During this next song, if you just take a minute and fill out those connection cards, and then we'll be around at the conclusion of that song to collect those as well. You know, every day is not good. Matter of fact, a lot of times, especially after you become a Christian, it's difficult to be Christian. Sometimes things get more difficult. But we know that with God, all is possible, no matter what it is well. By the sound of his voice.
through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well.
Yeah.
finding out of there. I have a couple of guys come around and collect the prayer cards. While they're doing that, I want to share a quick story about the three pastors. Now, these were probably South Jersey pastors or Pennsylvania pastors, definitely not AK pastors. But they were going on a pastoral conference, and they decided to share a room in order to save a few dollars. And that night, they decided to share some issues that they were going through with each other. Good for the soul. And so the first pastor said, you know, guys, I've really been struggling with this. Every time I walk into a 7-Eleven, I end up buying those little scratch-off tickets and start spending a little bit of money on it. You guys have to really use your prayers in this area. So they agreed to pray for him. The second pastor said, you know, every time I find myself stressed out, I'm turning to the Bible instead of the Bible. And guys, I really need you to hold me accountable in this area. They agreed to hold him accountable. And the next pastor said, you know, guys, I hate to admit it, but I've really been struggling with gossiping. I'll be honest with you, I can't wait to get out of this room. I share that story because we're in church doesn't mean there isn't some addiction issues going on. Just because we're in church doesn't mean that we don't know somebody struggling with addiction. So if you yourself or somebody that you know is struggling with addiction, we have a table set up. We'd ask that you stop by, get some information on the program. One of the great things about Teen Challenge is even if the individual doesn't have money or insurance, that's not going to determine whether they're accepted into the program. And so don't let that be an issue. So again, stop by the table and pick up some information. I'd like to introduce Dave.
Second time. and really, guys, he's awesome. I came into the challenge with Danny, and these guys here. Danny was probably one of the first people I spoke to. Mike Lacey was a huge inspiration. Mike Schubert, always working. He is awesome for his age. He's awesome. All these guys, honestly, they had welcomed me with loving arms, and all of a sudden, I was in a crisis. But God is faithful. He's merciful. I'm so thankful for that. My name is David Kieber Jr., 23 years old. I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. I came to Jersey in the spring of 2013 because I met a girl online. I would not advise you to follow my own ways of life. See, I was a compulsive thief and liar, and I did whatever my desperately wicked heart desired. Up until the age of 9, I had no father. It's a long time to hear my mother scream and holler at the top of her lungs. This is where I was, always in trouble. I had anything and everything to do with sexual immorality. Since the age of 7, pornography was my reality. I was exposed and addicted, stripped of my innocence. My daddy found the Lord in prison, took me to church, hoping someone would fix this, but things got worse. I was stuck in my sin. At the age of 14, I lost my virginity, thinking I was fulfilling some kind of sick dream. But really, I was defiling the very temple of the King of Kings. 2 years later, I'm hooked on ecstasy, weed, and drinking, and as time goes down the road with prostitutes, I'm sleeping. Then, I'm the prostitute they're sleeping with. Only Jesus gives me grace to admit this. I was molested by my sister and my mother's friend's gay partner and by some other man I don't remember, but would have nightmares about as a kid. And I've just recently begun the healing process with my sister. She just doesn't know it yet. She has resentment towards me, probably because I was a liar, cheater, and a thief, stabbing our mother in the back consistently. Thank God it's only figuratively speaking. I was homeless in 3 different states, in and out of jail. Long story short, I was wasting away and headed to hell, but God. I heard the gospel in its entirety, and I was finally tired of me. Tyler, Michelle, and Nick, the Spirit of God led me to these 3. I witnessed healing and fulfilled prophecy. He gave me ears to hear and eyes to see. He was in a passionate pursuit, full of compassion and mercy. so that I would answer the call to start my destiny, the very hope of glory, Christ in me. So here I am, a grace-made man, living not for myself, but for what my God has planned. Of the Spirit I am born again, dead to sin, and alive unto Him. But I have to walk in it, working out my salvation with great fear and trembling. I've been called out of darkness and into His marvelous light, beaming. I'm in a discipleship with discipline. It's a consecration unto Him and His gospel. He makes me an instrument of righteousness, and I'm living for holiness, and I now believe that God really loves us. He loves me. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. But listen, I know I have not arrived, but I'm leaving my old life behind and putting everything on the line for the gospel of Christ. I'm sprinting forward to win the prize, to hear God's call to eternal life, found exclusively in His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm lifting His name on high with 24/7 worship and prayer. I long to care for the orphan and widow in despair, refraining from sin and remaining unspotted from this world that is everywhere. Sounds like true religion, not some jeans I would pay $250 to not even wear. In this program, I'm learning to abide in His love, to join in His suffering, and believing in the power of His blood that I may attain resurrection life, to fight the good fight while remembering Lot's wife, and to live in a way that is pleasing in His sight, to be a faithful witness and endure hardship, to trust and obey, to watch and pray with the Word of God girded at my hip, always ready. Oh, the joy of loving and knowing Him, hoping in and being found in Him. I'm no longer my own. I've given in. I'm fully His. To lay down my life now and live for the age to come, praying for the lost, proclaiming the good news. It's Christ crucified on the cross, risen, and He's coming soon, and nothing else matters. Ear is heard, no eye has seen, but without a shadow of a doubt, I believe His bride will dance with her King. The scripture I leave for you is Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How I long for that day to see our beloved face to face. This King, this man of sorrows who bore our iniquity, see His hands pierced, His side pierced for our transgressions. There's no other reason to live. It's for Him alone. I don't belong anywhere else. It's only with Him. It's His King of glory. It's His story. He is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. God bless you all.
Now, in the book of Peter, it talks about, he says, speaking to believers, he said, each is drawn away by his own lust. And, you know, for us, it's addiction. Not too long ago, about a year and a half ago, I went through 3 back surgeries, and I was put on some pain medication, and it didn't take long, but that's quickly become a problem, once again. And one thing that I learned through that is that I always have to be on guard. Because each is drawn away by his own lust. We each have one thing in our lives, or sometimes 2 or 3, that separates us from God. And but today, I know that sin no longer has dominion over me. Sin no longer reigns in my mortal body, and we're no longer slaves to sin.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer
Fletcher. He just texted and said he's going to give you a call this week and not do it to work. Facility. I just want to share real quickly my story and what brought me to Teen Challenge. I actually grew up in the church. I went to the Washington Assembly of God Church with Pastor Scott, before Pastor Jerry, but I didn't have a relationship with Christ, and so when difficult times came, and that came in the form of getting my girlfriend pregnant in the youth group. The parents, of course, were furious, and they ended up putting the baby up for adoption and forbid us to ever see each other or the baby again. We never did. The loss was profound, and I ended up turning to drugs like a month later to escape the reality of the pain, and it left temporarily, but as soon as I came down, that pain and that loneliness was still there, and so I picked up and used again. That ended up turning into a 17-year addiction to heroin. During that time, somehow was able to manage to get married and had a son and a daughter, but heroin was my God, and I put it everything before that. And so in 2006, I had lost everything. I no longer had a relationship with my daughter. She wanted nothing to do with me. And I ended up taking 92 milligram Klonopin, which is very similar to Xanax. I ended up blacking out. 5 days later, I woke up in the Warren County Jail and found out that during that blackout, I had robbed the Burger King in Goldsburg. The next morning, I went across the street to the Exxon gas station and robbed them. I was facing a lot of years. 40 years is what they originally came offered. I sat there for a year. I ended up doing 5 years at Southern State Correctional Facility for that crime. But just like I had no control over my heroin use, the state of New Jersey has no control over the heroin coming into the prisons. So for my first 2 years there, I continued to use heroin in prison. It wasn't until 2007 that someone came up and they shared their story with me. This guy had been in prison for 20 years for murder. It wasn't so much in the words that he spoke, but in the way that he walked out his daily life. And I wanted what he had. I wanted to be locked up but free. And it was at that point that so I turned my will over to Christ and surrendered. Still had a few more years to do in prison, and I dedicated that time to studying his word and just growing in a close, intimate relationship with him. When I was released, having grown up in the Assembly of God Church, I was very familiar with Teen Challenge. I'd seen so many people come, leave prison, and then end up coming back while I was there, and I said, that won't be me. And so I ended up entering the Teen Challenge Center in Newark. And I really didn't want to be there. My uncle drove me and dropped me off at the doorstep, and I just broke down and cried. My flesh wanted nothing to do with being locked in anywhere for 15 months. 5 years. But I knew in my spirit I needed to be there. And they take me up to my room, and when I got up there, one of the other students in the program, his brother had made a collage of pictures for him. And as I looked into that collage of pictures, there was two pictures of my, at that time, 7-year-old son. Now, I had never been to Newark, never been to the Teen Challenge Center. I didn't know this kid or his family. He had pictures of my son up on the walls of Teen Challenge. And that's how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word, through circumstances, through other people. He was letting me know that I was walking in his will. Since then, I've received the Teen Challenge. Like I mentioned earlier, I had a little bump in the road and had to, again, seek the face of Christ for liberation. The Teen Challenge was so good to me. It just brought me in. It never charged me one penny to be there. And that's because someone invested into my life. And that investment didn't stop with me. Just about a month ago, I finally got my security clearance to go back into the prisons and speak, which is a miracle. They denied it at first. Of course, I'm probably the last person they'd ever want there. But yet, God opened that door, and it's only because of him. But someone had invested into my life. And so we have that opportunity for you this morning. It's our Dollar Day sponsorship. It's a dollar a day, $30 a month, to sponsor one of the students that you see here today. Like I said, Teen Challenge is so good about bringing people into the program, regardless of their ability to pay. If it wasn't for the church, we wouldn't be able to do it. And so we are in need of those sponsorships, again, because we We have a couple people on air mattresses. We're full to capacity. And so if God's placed it on your heart to do that sponsorship, I would encourage you to come and see us at the table. Our goal today is seven of our students to have the